With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. Well, the very first edition of the brand new year, 2023, this Sunday, 2023. So I would like to say Happy New Year to all of you. And also, it's my wife's birthday today. She was born on January 1st. And so, the title of the message tonight is A Royal Priesthood and a Holy Nation. A Royal Priesthood and a Holy Nation. And here, we're going to look at how Peter describes the church as God's spiritual temple. And let's start here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and here, what he's talking about, and all guile. Well, malice and guile means deceit, and when he's talking about evil speakings, envies, and all evil speakings. So those all words mean malice and the guile and the hypocrisies, the envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes describe the sincere. Now that word sincere means pure, the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, what he's saying here is that when you become a born-again believer, when you're just a babe in the Lord, you're like a newborn baby who needs breast milk that being in a breast milk that he's referring to here is the Word of God. And so that those that desire the Word of God will grow and then mature, and they won't have their growth stunted. He goes on to say, if so you be, have you tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as into a living stone is disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Yea, also as living stones, you are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. Here, when he referred to Peter, when he was talking to Peter, and he said to Peter, upon this rock. Now that word is Petra. And he was referring to himself. The Lord Jesus was referring to himself. He is the rock, okay? He is that stone, the cornerstone, the chosen stone. And Petras means stones, a part of those are a part of the big rock. He's referring to as stones, and that's what he's referring to us, that we, the church, are lively stones. We're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. Well, what he's telling you is that we are a nation. We're a nation of priests. The actual office of the priesthood actually ended at Calvary. When the Lord Jesus, upon that cross, when the last thing he said was, "It is finished," the veil of the temple rent from top down. Now, that veil was anywhere from 4 to 6 inches thick, and it stood 14 feet high. And the reason that it was rent from top down, was to show the people they'd have no doubt that it was God that did that, because that curtain had to be tested actually with teams of oxen to make sure that its strength was there good. And here, so God rent that from top down, and what it meant was that no longer did we have to take our sacrifices and prepare it and take it to a priest and then have the priest intercede for us. Now, through the Lord Jesus Christ, because when he had died, he was the last sacrifice that didn't just cover the sins of the world, but his sacrifice took away the sins of the world for all of those that would call upon his name. And here, so he goes on to say, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. So now, the sacrifices we offer up today are not animals, blood sacrifices of animals, but they're the sacrifices of praise, of worship, of service, and of tithes. And those are the sacrifices we offer up today to the Lord. And we're a nation of priests, if you're a born-again believer. Wherefore, it is contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed." And so here, what he is saying here, that really, that our priestly duties, one of the most important of our priestly duties now, is to reconcile God and man. In other words, evangelism here. And so, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. We were grafted in. The church was grafted in. Had Israel received Messiah when he came, if they had received him, it would have gone right into the millennial kingdom. But Israel rejected him. And, of course, God was very well aware that they would reject him. Many passages in the Old Testament show that, especially Isaiah 53. But I want to go over to Isaiah chapter 28 here. And in Isaiah chapter 28, starting with verse 9 all the way through verse 19, we read this. "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Well, now they're complaining. Israel was complaining that Isaiah was talking down to them like they were children. Now, I totally understand, being a pastor for all these years, I completely understand Isaiah. Because so many times you have people, and when he's saying precept upon precept, precept upon precept, precept line upon line, he's in the repeating over and over and over. I've had many, many times when people have come to me and they've had a situation and they wanted to know how the Bible, what the Bible teaches according to how they should react to their situation. Well, so many times, or people will come to you and they'll want you to help them to justify something they want to do, especially when it comes to marriage situations. People will, when there's infidelity involved, so on and so forth, and they'll come and they'll want you to try to tell them that what they're doing is okay, try to justify. And what happens is, you know, you tell them over and over the same thing, to come back, and I'll say, you know, nothing's changed since yesterday. The answer is still the same. Well, you get to the point with some of these people, I just say, look, I'll tell you what you do. Just go out there, sit down at the table over there, and write out what you want me to say, and then I'll just read it back to you if that's what you want. I've told you time and time again. I've showed you right here in the Word of God, okay, you know, how to rectify your situation. But that's not what you want to hear. You've got selective hearing. And boy, do we have that more and more and more today, okay? And so here, he goes on, Isaiah goes on to say, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. In other words, God says, look, here. Here's what you do. It's right here. It's in my word. Look, obey me. Obey me. And not to worry. You won't have to worry about your enemies. You won't have to worry about famine. Just obey me, and things will be good. But here, when he says, for the stammering lips and another tongue, well, that other tongue he was talking about was the tongue of the Assyrians, you see, here, because they weren't going to like, they didn't like what Isaiah had to tell them, the way that they should go. But when the Assyrians now, when they conquer them, and they're gonna tell them, you know, things that they really don't want to hear, they really don't want to do. And so they're going to like it a whole lot less than what Isaiah had to say to them. And so here again, as he goes on, God uses repetition and simple words to get his message through to the people that covenant with death. Because he goes on to say, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing that you would not hear. But the word of the Lord was upon them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. And that's exactly what happened to them. You see, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule the people, which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, and we have an agreement with the overflowing scourge shall pass through. It shall not come unto us, for we have made lies of our refuge and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. So what are they saying? Well, they're saying, look, we're going to go to Egypt, and we're going to go and petition Egypt to be our protector against the Assyrians. Because, you see, God, we don't want to, you know, you've got too many rules and regulations. You've got too many laws for us, and, you know, we kind of like our sin. And you just got too many restrictions for us. And so we're going to go over to Egypt, and we're going to have the Egyptians protect us from the Assyrians, because they don't care about it. In fact, they'll not only not keep us or prosecute us or persecute us for our sin or judge, but they'll join in with us in our sin. And so here he goes on to say, wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay a Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, precious cornerstone, sure foundation. He that believeth on him shall not make haste. Well, he's saying that he's referring to, and by the way, this was written over 700 years before the birth of the Christ child, but it was referring to the coming judge. And judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. For the time that goeth forth it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and shall be a vexation only to understand this report. Now, here is a number of things. When he's talking about disannulled, he's referring to canceled. It was something being canceled. When he's referring to stammering, there in verse 11, with his stammering lips, he's referring to obviously foreign lips. And so here again, just some words that people might not understand. A plummet is a plumb line, a plumb line. And so here now, God is saying, got some bad news for you. Because they said, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, and we are in agreement with the overflowing scourge shall pass through it. And God's saying, nope, guess what? It's not going to be that way, you see. Guess what? I got bad news for you, because Egypt is not going to protect you. I'm not going to let them protect you. See, I'm going to cancel you. And so, because you've been disobedient, I told you what you had to do. But you're a stiff-necked people, and you've been disobedient. And so, here, you've went, and you've formed your pack, your death pack, with Egypt. Now, what he's talking about is the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And Israel has chosen the way of sin. Now, today, in America, like Israel, as they went to join in to Egypt, today in America, folks, you've got the woke-a-dopes. And what I mean by that is the alliance of big pharma, big retail, big tech, big media, big healthcare. All of these have gone, and they want to get away from God. Now, they brought death. Especially big pharma has brought so much death, so much death. And so here you have your covenant of death that they have made. And today, they've made this covenant of death with government, with big government. In fact, it's the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense is really behind all of these depopulation, all of these people that are dying from these bioweapon shots. The Department of Defense in this country is a part of that. They're going right along, and they're fulfilling Bill Gates' orders to depopulate the country. They're killing people off left and right. Now, believe me, the mainstream media is just as very well aware of this as we are. But for the last couple of years, we've been warning you and telling you, and now people are dropping dead, and the mainstream media has been totally ignoring it. They've been going right along with their orders in lockstep with the communists. He goes on to say, "For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow than the cup can wrap, than he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth." Fight against her munition. Okay, I'm going to go back to where we left off over in 1 Peter. And back in 1 Peter, where I left off. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Now, and that's interesting because that word peculiar means people belonging to God. People belonging to God there. He goes on to say, "You are a people, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which is in times past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had obtained mercy, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So when Israel rejected their Messiah, we, the Gentiles, were grafted in. We were grafted in. And so now, dearly beloved, verse 11, "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation." Now, that word conversation doesn't mean like we use it today where people, you know, are sitting talking with each other. That word conversation means a lifestyle, a lifestyle. "Honest fleshly lust, war against the soul, having your conversation amongst the Gentiles, your life, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be, that may by your good works, that they shall behold and glorify God in the day of visitation." In other words, he's talking about by the way they live. Now remember, the first converts were all Jewish people. So he's speaking here, Peter's speaking to the Jews who are Christians now, and he's telling them, by the way you live, you will be your lifestyle will be a great witness to the Gentiles. "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake." Now, this is one of those passages that is really taken out of context, and let me just tell you why. It's Prissy preachers that don't have the courage, and boy, folks, there's so many of them. There is such a dearth of courage in the pulpit here in America today. It's really dishonoring to God Almighty. But they will use this verse to say, well, okay, We have to obey the government, and we can't resist. Well, that's not what it says at all. Listen, it means exactly what it says. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. In other words, he's telling you, you can submit yourself to every ordinance of man, which is in compliance with God's word, with God's laws. If it's not in compliance with God's laws, you do not submit yourself. In other words, they've legalized killing babies. They call it an abortion. And it's legal now. And so let's just say that you're a doctor or nurse, and they tell you, in order to keep your job here, you're going to have to kill babies. You say, no. And they tell you, well, we will prosecute you. You still say, no, you will obey God. They want to legalize pedophilia. And they say, because it's legal. And just right now today, they try to say that they want to make Joe Obama, Biden, this man, a man of sin like Obama, a man of great, great sin. Joe Biden is a man of great sin, where he wants to make it a hate crime to speak out against the sins of sodomy. It's LGBTQ. He had a drag queen there at the White House. He desecrated the White House, with bringing in drag queens. But within the Democratic Party, it's flush with pedophiles. And according to Joe Biden's own daughter, he is himself a pedophile. And I do know, I heard the woman who has come out and said that he raped her. But boy, that sure didn't make NBC, ABC, or CBS, did it? Okay. And so here, boy, if that had been Donald Trump, that's all you'd have heard all day long. Why? Well, because there's hypocrites in the mainstream media. Those people are absolute, totally completed. NBC, ABC, CBS, PMS, NBC, they're all hypocrites. He goes on to say, again, submit yourself in every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Well, Peter knew there's only one supreme king, and there ain't no king but King Jesus. Unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for his punishment. Now listen, this was written at a time when Nero Caesar was on the throne. Nero Caesar was an extremely, extremely wicked man. He was an extremely wicked man. And he worked with those who the Lord Jesus referred to as the sons of Satan, the children of Satan, and these were the apostate Jews of that day. The ones that Jesus referred to as those that say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. He also said that they may be the seed of Abraham, but they're not the children of Abraham. And that's what the Apostle Paul also said, the same thing over Romans 9. So he goes on to say, for so it is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Now he's telling you that we don't abuse the liberty. We don't tempt God with our liberty that we have in Christ. And what do we mean? Well, you don't flaunt it. Look, Peter understood we were under grace and not under the law. We didn't have to uphold all those dietary laws. We didn't have to do all of the things that the Jews were under. The law was a cruel taskmaster. And it was given to them to show them just how far they were from being able to keep the law. And so that's why Christ came. Christ fulfilled the law. Christ did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And so he made it very clear. Servants, he says, be subject to your own masters with all fear. Well, let me go back to this where he says, honor all men. Now, he's writing here to Christians. He's writing here to Christians. He doesn't mean that you honor the wicked people. In fact, over in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, it says, give honor to whom honor belongs. Okay? In fact, let me just jump over there very quickly. And here, and this is one of these passages again. Romans 13 is another one that the prison preachers try to use to avoid because they don't have the courage to stand up against tyranny. But he says this, for this cause pay you tribute, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. So in fact, it's a sin to honor wicked men. And so, in fact, if you go over, for example, over in Proverbs chapter 24, and in Proverbs chapter 24, we read, starting with verse 23, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith to the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. And every man shall kiss the lips of him that giveth the right answer. Well, today, it seems like the pastors aren't like the pastors of old. They tend to see not to have the courage. Now, this looks like it may be changing. I have been saying over the last couple of months now that if national radio preachers, people that are coast to coast like this station, like this pastor is, and I have been for years doing rebuking the wicked. And I was saying if Franklin Graham would rebuke Joe Biden, well, I'm going to tell you, that would make a big difference. A lot of people out there, even Democrats, would take heed to that. But he did do that to Amy Grant, from what I saw. He rebuked her for marrying another woman, a sodomite marriage. And then I also mentioned Charles Stanley and John MacArthur, and I noticed that John MacArthur now has come out and he has rebuked and he's called out Governor Newsom, which is good. Now, we've been calling him out here for years. I mean, I'm calling him out going all the way back with the Bushes, but especially with Obama. And up until Biden, Obama was the most wicked by far president that this country ever had. But Biden, I think, is trying to supersede even Obama in evil and wickedness. And so here, If a person is wicked, they defile the position or the office that they hold. Because I've had people call here, and I remember some when Obama was in office, and I had a black pastor call in, and he said to me, "Now, Pastor Sanders, you know, I agree with most all of what you say, but now, even if you disagree and you don't like Obama, you still got to respect and respect him for the office he holds." "No, no, no." And this fellow said, "Because he's still your president." I said, "No, no, he's not my president. I have much higher standards than that. If he was to repent of his sin, repent of all the evil he's caused, all of the evil, so much evil, if he was to repent of that, then I would have respect. But until then, no, not a bit." And so here, the Bible says that light can have no fellowship, none, zip, zero fellowship with darkness. Christ can have no fellowship, none, zip, zero with Belial. In fact, I was really, really disappointed when Billy Graham went and stayed at the White House when Bill Clinton was there, when was at the office. Was in the White House. Bill and Hillary. And they kind of use that to say, "Here, look, the great evangelist Billy Graham, he doesn't have a problem with us. He's not judging our sin." Well, in fact, I want to go right over here to Proverbs 17, and just read verse 15. "He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord." And then, if you go to Proverbs 23, and you read, "Buy the truth, and sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And by the language of illusion," okay, the truth is found here in this word, right here in this word. But in the Word of God, not in the social media. They use the language of illusion, that is delusion. They use terminology, words they invent, like woke, for example, words they invent to make the sin, their rebelliousness and their sin, how no matter how evil, how wicked their sin is, to make it more palatable. And like, for example, child killing, abortion, they call it terminating the pregnancy. God's word, the Bible, calls it flat out murder. And folks, when you find yourself arguing with God, guess who loses? Now, he goes on to say, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to do good and gentle, but also to be forward. For this is thankworthy of a man, for conscience toward God endureth grief, suffering wrongfully. For the glory is it, if when you are buffeted for your faults, you should take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." For even here in 2, were you called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By those stripes are you healed, for you were as a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So here, when we take a look at this, when he is telling you we never to never, never, never reduce ourselves to the ways of the world. Here, Peter is saying that wives, and I'm going to pick this up here in this next verse here, that wives need not to preach to their husbands, but by their conversation, means behavior and submission. So he says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation. Again, that word conversation is referring to lifestyle of the wives, while they behold their chaste conversation coupled with fear. And so he's telling, you know, one of the things today you have is, and one of the worst things that's happened is feminism in this land, the so-called women's movement. It has caused more divorce. It has broken up more families. And here you have a society. And by the way, that actually movement was started by the Rockefellers. I was listening to them as they talked about years ago how they were going to do it. They were going to get the women out there, and they had to break up the family. They could not have the family unit that God has given us. In order to control you, had to destroy that. And the area in which the enemy always attacks women is in discernment. And so they even said that. They even were saying that they knew that they were the easiest ones they were going to convince to destroy the families. Get them all out there. Get them in the workplace. Force infidelity. And boy, have they done that. Boy, have they done that. He goes on to say, whose adorning, let it not be outward adorning or plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which it is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves in subjection unto their own husbands. Even Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with the amazement. Well, that amazement there, the word actually there means terror. Terror, not afraid with your terror. Now, here he's speaking to the first converts there, and these first converts to Christianity were all Jews, and this is what he's talking, I'm referring to them as the daughters of Abraham. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge of giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, and your prayers not be hindered. Well, he's saying, first of all, the man was to protect his wife and treat her kindly. And if he refused to treat his wife kindly, God would not hear his prayers. That's what it says here, that your prayers be not hindered. Let me read that again. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, and your prayers not be hindered. So he's referring, again, remember, one of the things in those days was that women were very vulnerable if they had no man. This is why they had put in the law that if a Moses was, that if a man was to get killed, his brother had to take his wife and raise up seed by her, his brother's wife. Because, see, in those days, if a man was to come along And that's why women had covered their hair, their heads, because that was a sign that they had a man, either a husband or a father or a brother, someone there to protect them. And the only women that didn't cover their heads there was the heathen women or the whores, the prostitutes at the temple. No. The interesting thing was that if a woman was on her own, even if she was wealthy, even if she was wealthy, and even if she had servants and that, if her husband was dead, and she had no other people of authority, and some guy with maybe a little bit of power was to come along, and inquire, say, where's her husband? Well, she don't have a husband. Oh, where's her brothers and father? Well, she doesn't have brothers and fathers. Well, that guy could take her and say, well, I'm going to claim her then. And even if she had a lot of property, he could just take her property with him. And so this is why he's making it very clear here that husbands were to protect their wives, and they were to be to honor them, be kind to them, and if they did that, well, then God would bless them. But if they failed to do that, God would not hear their prayers, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all one mind, having compassion one another. Love brethren and brethren, be pitiful. Now, that word pitiful means kind-hearted. It's not exactly the way we use the word today. Be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. Rendering means repaying, not to repay evil for evil. Or rallying for rallying. That means insult. In other words, don't return their insults. If they insult you, you don't return insult for insult. But contrary-wise, blessing. Now remember, here he's talking to the church. Blessings, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips to the that they speak no guile. Guile means deceit, that they speak no deceit. Let him eschew evil. That means to turn away. To eschew means to turn away. And to do God, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And let me read that again. And the ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Okay, so the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. They're over the righteous. But God will come against the wicked. And boy, today they seem to be getting more and more wicked all the time. I mean, it's just unbelievable how the evil out there today, especially, you know, when it comes to, they want to keep raising the age of babies that even after they're born, they can kill them. They want to start being able to what they call euthanize, the Bible calls it murder, children, as long as they have their parents' permission. They want to be, if the parents say, you know what, the kid hasn't turned out the way I really want him to do, and he's costing us a lot of money, and he's got a lot of physical problems, I just didn't have him killed off. That's the wickedness of our society today. Everything that's called liberal has become totally defiled. You've got these pedophiles out there, these drag queens going to public libraries. The libraries in the public schools are bringing in these abominable, unclean, extremely unclean things called drag queens. Folks, I mean, it's sick. You've got Generals Austin and Milley wanting to put drag queens in our military. They're destroying our military. They're destroying it. Here. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means to have reference to. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience of whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, Christ descended into Hades and preached to the victory and final condemnation to the fallen angels imprisoned there since the flood of Noah's day. And we identify with Christ in baptism. He goes on to say here, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Well, here we identify with Christ in baptism. It's not the ceremony that saves us, but the faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is a symbol of the transformation that happens in the hearts of those who believe. But the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And so here, I've got to take a little swig. Getting a little bit of a dry throat. Well, today I don't have my normal green tea today. I've got a lemon pop, which is one of my favorites. And so, well, it looks like we've come to that time tonight. We've come to, towards the end of the program. And we have we're in a brand new year now. And folks, again, just remember, God has raised us up for such a time as this. We're going to be making an announcement here on Tuesday of some of what we're going to be facing here in this coming year. And always remember this, that the good Lord will never, never put more on us than he knows that we can take, than we can handle. And this is the time, and you say, well, why should we have to go up through this? Well, just remember this, okay? Even when things look bad for most all of us out there, Even on our worst day, we literally have billions of people in this world right now today that would trade, that would gladly trade places with us, even on our worst days. We have been blessed and blessed such abundantly, and you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And so, here we are to be, when you know, faith without works, being alone, well, it's dead. And a lot of people were talking about, and I know even tonight in the discussion in church about repentance. Well, folks, repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is going in the opposite direction, turning around. And here the other thing, too, is, you know, because people are hoping this is the year, 2023, this is the year that the Lord returns. Well, it very well may be. There's a lot of signs out there that says it could very well may be. But if not, we've got our marching orders. And faith without works is dead, being alone. And so we need to get out there. We need to repent, but we need to pray. But we need to put feet on those prayers too. And again, remember, resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God. And I would just want to remind you that God gives us the three missions. First and foremost, the Great Commission. Second, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is also always disobedience. And third, we are to hold to the traditions of the apostles and stand our ground, not give up any ground. And as we do this, we look for the Lord's return. Now, if you're listening to me out there tonight and you have not made that decision for Christ, believe me, folks, okay, God's Word, the Bible, doesn't study. It tells you, you must be born again. You are going to die, and when that happens, you're going to end up, people are eternal beings, either in heaven or hell, and believe me, you don't want to go to the latter. So if I were you tonight, if you have not, if I were you, I would do it very quickly, because you don't want to run out of tomorrow's tonight like so many will. If I were you tonight, I would call upon the name, I would pray to Father God, I would call upon his name, Father God, and I would ask him to forgive you of all your sins. And then I would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and I would ask him to be the Lord of my life, all of my life, without any reservations, folks. And if you do that, see, God will always, always honor a commitment. He is the only one that can, will always deliver what he says. He's the only one that has the capabilities to always deliver. And if you do that, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, you've got God's word on that. You've got God's word on that. And when that happens, folks, and I know sometimes this is hard for a lot of people to believe, but you will be on your way to immortality. You'll be on your way to immortality. God has said it. God, you know, you say, well, how can God deliver that? Well, take a look out on the starry night at that huge universe out there that's endless. God did that. So, folks, he can do it, and he always does what he says. So you need to really put your trust in him, put all of your trust in him. He's the only one that will never forsake you or never leave you. Unfortunately, it's that time where I have to leave you for tonight. So until tomorrow, as we say, good night. God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.